In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with Vine 15:4-9, 1923. My beloved daughter, I love so much these acts done in my divine will that as soon as the soul enters into it, in order to act, the shadow of my light surrounds the soul, and I, God, run so that my act and hers may be one. So here Jesus is saying very clearly that what he's so happy that finally someone is wanting to do, to live in the divine will, to do their acts, their rounds of the divine will. He says, as soon as they enter into it, what does that mean? As soon as they say, I want to do my acts and my rounds in the divine will. Say you're driving down the road and, you know, all of a sudden Jesus says, why are you doing this? You go, oh, Lord, I'm driving down the road in the divine will. God goes, good. As soon as he says, as soon as the soul enters into it, you do your prevening act in the morning, then your actual acts throughout the day. He says, my divine light surrounds the soul. I, God, run in my acts. And hers may be one. And since I am the prime act of all creation, without my prime motion, all created things would remain paralyzed without strength and incapable of the slightest motion. So here Jesus is showing us that what he has planned to give to humanity is this divine light, this divine life. So he says, I am the prime act of all creation. So we want to enter into this. This is why Jesus is teaching us the acts and the rounds in the divine will. Since God is the prime act, since God is the prime motion, he says, everything would remain paralyzed without this divine strength and capable of motion. Life is motion, and without it, everything is dead. I am prime motion. So here Jesus is showing us that this prime motion is what God wants us to participate in. And I give life, I give attitude to all other motions so that my first motion, creation, begins to revolve. So here we see the rounds. When you learn how to pray the rounds, you go through all of creation. You go through all of redemption. You're doing everything one with Jesus and Mary. And he says, this is what he's waiting for. He's waiting for this. He says, it happens to an engine at the touch of the first motion of the of the first wheel. All of the little wheels begin to spin. See then how it is almost natural for the soul who operates in my divine will to move in my prime motion. God is doing this, and we're participating in God. We're that drop of water entering into the cup filled with wine. We're fusing ourselves with this prime motion of God. By operating in my motion, the soul comes to find herself, and she operates in the motion of all creatures. And as the creature flows in my own motion, I, God, see her. I, God, feel her in all the motions of creatures, giving me as many divine lives for as many offenses human acts as others do. So Jesus is saying, I want my children now to enter this new and divine way of holiness. It's to begin to live this abundant life. This is what Jesus is waiting for. So he says very, very clearly, operating in my motion, the soul comes to find herself, and she operates in the motion of all creatures. And as the creature flows in my own motion, I, God, see the soul. I, God, feel the soul in all the motions of humanity, giving me as many divine acts for as many offensive human acts as others do. So what's happening is everything's being restored. Everything's being recreated, if you want to say. By whom? By the children living in the divine will. To be in God's image and likeness, the likeness is to do what God does. So he's teaching us how to do this. Now, it's not from us. We're not gods. But he's sharing with us his divinity. So he says very, very clearly. He says, And as the creature flows in my own motion, I see her, I feel her in all the motions of creatures, giving me as many divine acts for as many offensive human acts that others do. And this only because she has operated in my prime motion. And this is why I say that one who lives in my divine will, now he's talking about us. This is why he keeps on saying, I want you to live in my divine will. I say the one who lives in my divine will substitutes for all, defends me from all, places my motion, that is my very life, in safety. So Jesus is saying, we haven't learned this yet, but he wants us to learn how to live this abundant life. So Vine 15, 4, 20, 19, 23. This is why I always say to you, your flight in my divine will, because the human will contains weaknesses. The human will contains passions. The human will contains miseries that are veils that prevent one from entering into the eternal volition as if they were grave sins. And they are barricades that form between the one and the other. So here Jesus is saying, the divine will is the life that our God called us to live. Our human will can create grave sins and barricades that forms between the divine will and the other. And if my fiat on earth, as it is in heaven, does not reign upon earth, it is precisely what prevents it from doing so. So the human will prevents the divine will from flowing, because Jesus said, I made the human will for God. I made the universe for humanity. We everything in the universe is ours. And wait till you see what's coming. Wait till you see what God has planned for humanity. The whole let's think about that. The whole universe is ours. We're going to hear some things, see some things that are going to cause people to become very, very afraid. Nothing to be afraid of. God is in charge, and God is going to show us what we possess. We possess the whole universe. So therefore, to you, it is given to tear these veils, to knock down these barricades, and to make all human acts as though one single act in the power of my divine will. So all human acts are going to be one single act that we think, that we say, that we do in the power of the divine will, engulfing all the acts of humanity, bringing all the acts of humanity to the feet of my celestial Father, as though kissed and sealed by his very divine will. That means no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more death, no more sin is coming. This renewal of the face of the earth is the prayer that the saints pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics and kindle us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. That's what's happening. Volume 15, 4, 20, 19, 23. This is why I am. I always say to you, your flight in my divine will continues. So it's the human will contains weaknesses, passions, miseries that are veils that prevent one from entering the eternal volition, and they are grave sins. They are barricades that form each one and the other. If my fiat on earth, as it is in heaven, does not reign on earth, it is precisely that prevents them from doing so. These barricades and all make human acts as a one single act in the power of my divine will, engulfing them all, bringing them to the feet of my celestial Father as though kissed and sealed by his very will. So everything's being repaired. Volume 15, 5, 2, 1923. My daughter, oh, how well your acts done in my divine will harmonize. So we're entering into this song of heaven, the prayer of heaven. They harmonize with mine. So it's this harmony with God, this beautiful melody of love. And those who are those of my beloved mother. So it's Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. One disappears within the other, forming one single act. And it seems like heaven on earth and earth in heaven, the echo of the one and three and the three and one. So here, this braiding of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, this prayer of heaven. Finally, Jesus says, there's a human born of original sin who's praying, harmonizing with this song of heaven, with Jesus and Mary, again, of the sacrosanct Trinity. It's the reflection of the Trinity on earth. That's what Jesus says to Louisa. When you get to volume 17, May 4th, 1925, it's very clear, this echo of the three, the one and three and the three and one of the Sacrosanct Trinity in heaven and the Sacrosanct Trinity on earth. Oh, how sweet it sounds to our hearing, how it enraptures us. Why? It's of God. And so much as to capture our will, our divine will from heaven to earth, to bring heaven to earth, is done by this reflection of the Holy Trinity on earth. And we are going to participate in that. Volume 15, 6-18, 1923. This is my usual way in all of my works. I do them once in order to give life to all the other times in which they are repeated. Untiring, uniting them to the first act as if they were one single act. So everything becomes one with God. Everything becomes fused with God. So the power, the divine immensity, the all-seeingness of my divine will made me embrace all centuries. It made me present to me the communicants and all the sacramental hosts, and I received myself as many times to make my very self pass through myself into each creature. So when you receive Holy Communion, this is what Jesus tells Louisa: I want you to receive Holy Communion as I received Holy Communion. So we say, Jesus, I want to receive you as you received yourself at the Last Supper, in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future, so that all of humanity can receive you as you wish, as if all humanity is receiving you as you wish. And Jesus says, when this happens, he says, it's purifying the earth. So each Holy Communion, that's why Holy Mass ends right after Holy Communion. The church does not want to interfere with your communion. It's the time to adore him and to love him and to praise him, to thank him and to bless him and to worship him. It's a new beginning for all of humanity. So Louisa said, I remain surprised as if I wanted to doubt. And Jesus added, why do you doubt? And that's to us. Jesus saying, why are you doubting this? That's what she went through, is our doubt, our worry, our complaining, our negativity. Poor Louisa, what she went through. Why do you doubt? Is this not perhaps the operating as God? In this one single act of forming as many acts for as many as want to enjoy it, while it remains one single act, it was not the same for the act of the incarnation of my life and of my passion. I, God, incarnated myself only once. One was my life. One was my passion. Yet this incarnation, this life, this passion is for everyone and for each one, as if it were for one alone. So they are still as though an act. So Jesus says, yesterday, today, and forever, it's still as though an act for each one, as if it were not incarnating myself and now suffering my passion. So Jesus says, in time and space, we're trapped in time and space. Why? To participate in the entire life of Jesus, from his conception to his ascension. We're part of this life of Jesus, and he wants us to begin to live this life in exchange for our human. Volume 16, 10-4, 1923. So it is with my divine will. In order for the divine will to become life of the soul must bake her human will, disappear in mine. Okay, so this baking, Jesus is saying, her human will must no longer exist. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. My divine will's primary act must take over all of her acts, and it shall give itself to the soul, now as water to quench your thirst, with its divine and celestial waters. So everything that you're doing on earth, Jesus says, watch what I'm going to do divinely. Now as fire, not only to warm her, but to destroy what is human, to rebuild the life of my divine will in the soul. See, that's what we want. We want the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Not my miserable life, not our miserable life, but God's. Now as food, to nourish her, to render her strong and robust. Volume 16, 12-8, 1923. First, you must know that my divinity is one single act, and all acts concentrating into a single act. This is what it means to be God. Do you see what Jesus is doing? It's the greatest portent of our divine essence. Listen to what he says. You must know this, that my divinity is one single act and all acts concentrate into one single act. This is what it means to be God. And we are to be in God's image and likeness, the greatest portion of our essence, not to be subject to succession of acts, as if to the creature, it seems that we do not do something else. It is rather we make known what is present in that single act. So Jesus is saying, he's showing us how to learn from God in everything that we think, say, and do. He says, it's not one thing and then something else. We make known what is present in that single act. In fact, since the creature is incapable of knowing it all at once, he can't breathe into us as he breathed into the dust. We make it known little by little. So every word that Jesus speaks, every puff of this ruah of God, this breath of God, as we read it, he's filling us, expanding our capacity to understand, know what God is doing. That's what the saints were to know, love, and serve God. We're to know, love, and possess God. Now, everything that I, God, the eternal word, was to do in my assumed humanity formed one single act, then that single act that my divinity contains. So here he says, a human is now living the life that was breathed into Adam, the life that Adam lost. The human was the Son of God. The human was the Son of Mary. Mary, the mother of God, the new Adam and the new Eve. Now, Jesus says, now that I have done this, now that I have redeemed humanity, now is the time to breathe into humanity this living in the will of God. Volume 16, 2:24-24. My daughter, indeed, my divine will is immense, divinely immense, and it contains the whole of eternity. If you knew the good that even one single word of my divine will and one single act done in the divine will by humanity contain, you would be stunned. So Jesus is saying, do you want to begin to live this life? You're going to be stunned of what is happening. In that act, the soul takes heaven and earth as though in the soul's power. It becomes ours. My divine will is the life of everything and flows everywhere. And together with my divine will, the soul flows in each affection, in each heartbeat, in each thought, and in all the rest that creatures do. We participate in God. She flows within each act of her creator. In every good I do, in the light I send to the intelligence, in the forgiveness I, God, grant, in the love I, God, send, in the souls I, God, ignite with fervor, in the blessed I, God, beatify, in everything, there is no good that I, God, do, nor any point of eternity in which the soul does not hold her little place. You're with God. Do you see why God is calling us to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He says, I want you to get ready because you're going to be with me for all eternity. I want you to get ready for what I'm going to bring to all of humanity. Volume 17, 9:17-19:24. I was thinking about the Holy Divine Will, and I was doing as much as I could in order to fuse myself in it. Fusing is essential. When we do our prevening act, that's how I begin. I want to fuse myself with you, Holy Trinity. You know, after I say I want to live in the Divine Will, I want to fuse myself with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. I want to fuse myself with creation and redemption. I want to fuse myself to live in the divine will. Why? So I can enter the prime act of God, the single act of God, to participate one with God. This is what Jesus is saying. To be able to embrace everyone and everything, to bring to my God as one single act, the acts of all of humanity that are all due to our Creator. And now while I was doing this, I saw heaven open and I saw a sun come out and that wounding me with its rays. This is seen in the ecstasy of St. Teresa of Avila, the ecstasy of St. Catherine of Siena, these arrows of love being thrown into their hearts, wounding me with its rays, penetrating deep into the depth of my soul so that wounded by these rays, converted into a sun that's spreading its rays, wounded that sun. So it's, he wounds us so that we can wound him. He wants to see our love. He wants to feel our love. Wounding that sun, which it had been wounded by. So here, the son of the divine will, God wants us to participate in this. He's tired of the way we're living. He says, come back to me. That's what Jesus is saying. Mark 17, 10:30, 1924. My daughter, do you want to know why the angels are angels and why they have kept themselves beautiful and pure as they came out from my hands? Because they have always remained, listen to this, in that primary act in which they were created. See, this purity is the life of Jesus and Mary. It's the pure love of life of Jesus, light, love of Jesus, light of Jesus and of Mary. Therefore, being in that primary act of their existence, they are in that single act of my divine will, that not knowing succession of acts does not change. It neither decreases nor increases, and it contains within itself all possible and imaginable goods. It's the life. It's the life that God wants us to enter into. No worries, no fears, no anxieties, no complaints, no negativities, no sin. When there is a barrier, when something comes up, God is saying, what are you going to do? You're going to trust me? That's what Jesus said to St. Faustina. The final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. That's the final devotion to the Holy Church. God's going to take care of everything. And the angels, keeping themselves in that single act of my divine will that issued them to this light, maintains themselves immutable, pure, beautiful, and pure. That's going to be us. That's what God wants to be. He's telling us this because if the angels who are servants of God have this, wait till you see what he's going to do with the children of God. The angels have lost nothing of their original existence, and all their happiness is maintaining themselves voluntarily important in that single act of my divine will. We want this. Jesus says, who wants this? That's how we started. What do you want of me? Jesus says, come to me. Volunteer to come to me. In that single act of my divine will, they find everything in the circuit of my divine will, nor do they want, in order to be happy, anything other than what my divine will administers to them. Let's just think of the suffering that we all go through, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering. When we meet God, when on that day, we're going to see that everything that we've gone through was planned by God, except for our sin. And what God has said is, I used everything in your life to bring you to your knees. Because we're stubborn. We're self-centered. We're miserable. And Jesus says, that's not me. So he says, I need you to come to me, and I will, we're wild horses. He's going to, you break a wild horse. You know, and that's what Jesus is doing. He's saying, I'm going to break you of your self-centeredness, your misery, your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin. That's what he's doing. If the creature, like the angel, had never left that primary act within which my divine will issued her to the light, what divine order, what divine importance would not be seen on earth? That's what's coming. Divine order. Divine portents are coming to earth. Heaven is coming to earth. Therefore, my daughter, never go out of your origin in which my divine will created you, and let your primary act be always my divine will. That's your primary act. See, what God is doing is he's breaking us of our human misery. He doesn't want us to live in this misery any longer. Mark 17, 122, 1925, my daughter, this son that you see within the intelligence of my holy humanity was formed by my divinity that endowed me, Jesus, with the creative power and the all-seeingness of all things in such a way that I, Jesus, was to be the new son of souls. While rising to the celestial Father, this light descended to take, as though in its power, all human acts in order to illuminate them, to warm them, and to repair them. So Jesus has done everything. And now what Jesus is saying is, do you want to begin to live this abundant life? So over each human act hovers a light, a divine light that wants to do good to it continuously. So Jesus says, what I have done, I'm waiting for you to embrace. In me, doing this was as though natural. You, my daughter, you do not have this power to make one single act out of all the acts as I did. So this is important. I hear people say, well, I'm doing my divine acts. You are? Jesus says, you don't have the power to do this. Don't be foolish to think that you're doing a divine act. You do not have this power to make one single act out of all the acts I did. Therefore, in my divine will, you shall go through each ray. So Jesus is saying, let go of your human misery and enter into the divine will. Then you shall go through each ray, one by one, and little by little, you shall follow the same path as my holy humanity. That's why we're here. We're here to get rid of anything in our life that is not following the holy humanity of Jesus. And if we don't do this in this life, we must be purged of it in purgatory. We've got to be free of all that is opposed to the holy humanity of Jesus. And so this is why we're here. So we're learning each day how to do this and why God wants us to do this. This is why he gave us the book of heaven. Volume 17, 423, 1925. Now, this is precisely what I want from the creature, from humanity, that the soul let my divine will reign in her. That's what we say in our prevening act. I want the divine will to reign in me. I want to reign in the divine will, and that her human will may serve as the dwelling of mine. Jesus, reign in me. I don't want my human misery in charge anymore. To let it deposit its celestial goods that Jesus's holy humanity contains. This is what I want from you. Didn't we just start out with that this morning? What do you want from me? We want what Jesus wants. This is what I want from you, that all your acts marked by my divine will may form one single act. And uniting to that single act of my divine will that has no plot multiplicity of acts as in mankind, they may remain in that eternal beginning, to remain in heaven on earth. That eternal beginning, the returning to the womb of the Father, in order to copy your creator, to participate in this reflection of Jesus, then receiving the power of the Holy Spirit to live in the divine will, and then receiving the divine inheritance of the Father. It's everything that God has planned. And little by little, he's doing this to humanity. And when that great day happens, when the kingdom is established on earth as it is in heaven, when that great day happens, the whole world is going to be dancing up and down. The earth is going to shake when this happens. Jesus says this very clearly. He says, uniting to the single act of my divine will that has no multiplicity of acts as in mankind, they may remain in that eternal beginning in order to copy your creator, to give God the glory and the contentment that his divine will be done in us on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God's planned. And he's allowing us, offering this to us. What a great God we have. What a great, magnificent God we have. Okay, volume 17, 6, 18, 1925. My daughter, this immense void of my divine will shall be filled with the human acts done by humanity in my divine will. So everything's going to be repaired. Jesus says it's going to look as if Adam never sinned. That's the glory of our God. Everything that the evil one has done, he failed miserably. Everything's going to be recreated. Everything's going to be redone. By whom? by the little children of the Holy Divine World, living the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, that's found in Louisa. That's what God's waiting for. This is really astonishing what God is doing. My daughter, the immense void of my divine will should be filled with the human acts done by the creatures of my divine will. My divine will came out of the eternal womb of the Supreme Being for the good of mankind. While this will of ours did one single act in coming out of us in order to overwhelm mankind in such a way that mankind may find no way out. See, we're not going to lose this, as Adam did, Jesus says. Because why? It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. This is the life that God wants us to live. The new Adam and the new Eve that's found in Louisa. Then it multiplied itself into many innumerable acts in order to surround humanity and say to him, see, this divine will of mine not only envelops you, but it is a continuous attitude of the immediate acts to make itself known and received by requiting act into my divine will. So God is repairing and redoing everything. And he's saying, would you do this with me? Jesus says, would you be willing to not live your miserable life, but live my life on earth as it is in heaven? Our divine will shall have its return. It's going to happen. It's a divine decree. And it shall have its divine generation in the human will, more so since this was our first act for which all things were created, that our divine will transformed and regenerated the human will into divine. It's divine will. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This divine will that came out of us, Triune God, this will is what we want for humanity. Not such self-centeredness and selfishness and misery. All other things were done in the secondary order. While this was done, this was established in the primary order of creation, that we live in God's will. At the most, it may take time, but the century shall not end until my divine will obtains its purpose. So it's going to happen. Jesus says it can happen quickly if we really are striving to live in the divine will. See, the more we read, the more humanity is changing, the face of the earth is changing. The more humanity is recognizing what evil is and what the evil of the human will. And the more that we read, it's affecting all the earth. As we read today, someone on the other side of the planet is all of a sudden becoming attentive to what God is calling them to. It's to men of goodwill, peace on earth to men of God's will. Those souls that never heard of Jesus and are saying, I want to live the life that God wants me to live. God is leading them to himself. This is everybody. God is getting the world ready for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And as he says to Louisa in volume 24, all of a sudden, what's going to happen, the kingdom of God is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. Everyone will be Catholic. Everyone will possess this universal life. Don't be fooled by the evil one causing trouble. Remember, the gates of hell will not prevail. What does that mean? That's a full tilt fight to the end, but it's not going to prevail. God wins. He says this very clearly. All of the things were done in the secondary order. And while this was done, established, this was the primary order of creation. At the most, it may take time, but the century shall not end until my divine will obtains its purpose. This is one of Jesus's promises. Take this promise and say, yes, Lord, I'm with you 100%. If it has been obtained by the purpose of regeneration in the secondary things, much more, it must be obtained in the primary purpose. So redemption is the secondary. We have been created, redeemed. Now we're going back to being sanctified. That's what God is getting us ready for. Our divine will would never have departed from our womb if it knew that it would not obtain its complete effects. That is the human will be regenerated in the divine will. I love that word, regenerated. That's what God is doing. He's regenerating his people. He's breathing in into them again, more powerfully than the first Pentecost. The first Pentecost is going to look like a drop in the bucket compared to what's coming. The first Pentecost was the first fruits, you know, asparagus, strawberries, rhubarb. Yay, there's food, you know, I mean, after a long winter. The second Pentecost is the entire summer of growth. That's the last 2,000 years. This harvest that's coming, is God is getting us ready for this. It's a new and glorious time that God is getting ready for his children. Don't think of doom and gloom. You can if you wish, but it's misery. Think of what Jesus promises us. He says it very clearly. He says it very, very clearly. He's going to regenerate humanity. That's his promise. Volume 18, 10, 4, 19, 25. So repeating your I love you for me procures for you the water with which to water and to form the tree of love. This is this overflowing of water is coming upon the earth. Repeating your acts in my divine will forms the water with which to water and form the divine and eternal tree of my divine will. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. Nothing can be formed with one single act, he says, but with many upon many repeated acts. So what Jesus is saying is every time you do your rounds, every time you throughout the day, somebody says, how many times do we have to say to God, I love you? It's forever. It begins with an I love you with every heartbeat, every breath, every thought, every word, every deed, every step. It's to fall in love with God. Only your Jesus contains the virtue of forming all things and the greatest thing with one single act, because I, God, contain the creative power. See, Jesus is doing this. But the creature, by dint of repeating the same act that Jesus has done, heartbeat, breath, Jesus breathed in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, forms the good that she wants to do, and bit by bit, little by little, that's our hope, step by step, through habit, that good or that virtue becomes her nature. Jesus is teaching us how to become like him. That's what he's doing. That's the whole humanity of Jesus. And now Jesus says, I want to breathe in you this Ruach of God, this breath of God, this living in the divine will that Jesus and Mary possessed that they gave to Louisa. And then receiving again the divine inheritance of the Father. This is it. And the creature becomes the possessor of it and forms all her fortune in it. It's our life. There is nothing as beautiful as the book of heaven. And if you're reading the book of heaven, you exactly know what I mean. I'm talking about every day as you read, you're getting fresh air. You're getting a new heartbeat. You're seeing more clearly what Jesus is doing. It's unbelievable. And this is what Jesus has promised us. Volume 18, 10, 21, 19, 25. How beautiful are the acts in my divine will. So Jesus is saying, your heartbeat is beautiful in my divine will. Your breath is beautiful in my divine will. And so we want to enter into this beauty, this perfection, this immaculateness of that God is calling us to. You do not know the power. You do not know the greatness. You do not know the marvel of one act of my divine will yet. Yet. We're going to see it. We haven't seen it yet. He's saying, trust me. Jesus, I trust in you. Trust him, because he's going to show us things never seen before. He's going to show us things that Adam knew, Jesus and Mary knew, and Louisa knew. No one else, because it's not here yet. He's waiting for the souls to begin to live this abundant life. This act moves everything. It moves heaven and earth as if it were one single act, and all creation, the angels, the saints, give and receive the return of that act. The angels and the saints were one with Jesus and Mary, the angels and the saints when we link up with Louisa, the newborn, the firstborn, and give and receive the return of that act. Therefore, an act done in my divine will cannot be without return. Otherwise, all would feel the sorrow of a divine act that has moved everyone, everyone putting his own into it, and yet it is not requited. The operating of the soul in my divine will is like the silvery sound of a vibrant and shrill bell that sounds so loudly as to call the attention of everyone. Think about the blessing of bells. There's seven psalms that are read in the blessing of bells. Listen, with this vibrant and shrill sound, everybody should get a bell and get it blessed. So it sounds so loudly as to call the attention of all, and it sounds and sounds again so sweetly that all recognize that at that sound, the operating of the soul in my divine will, all receiving the glory and the honor of a divine act. The symbol of Louisa is the little bell. And Jesus said to Louisa, I will ring you continuously until all of humanity comes into the kingdom. It's she is the one who Jesus says he has formed so that we can be sanctified. Why? She has the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. Finally, a human born of original sin. And Jesus says, listen, I'm going to, listen, this is, he's talking about Louisa. The operating of a soul in my divine will is like a silvery sound of a vibrant and shrill bell that sounds so loudly as to call the attention of all of humanity. That's what Padre Pio said. The world and the church is going to focus on Louisa Picaretta in the third millennium. The world and the church is going to focus on Louisa Picaretta in the third millennium. It's a new and divine way of holiness that's coming for all of humanity. And the sound, and it sounds and sounds again so sweetly that all recognize that at that sound, the operating of a soul in my divine will. That's Louisa. All receive the glory. All receive the honor of that divine act. This is what Jesus is offering to us. Are you willing to embrace this new and divine way of holiness? Are you willing to embrace Louisa, the sound of the bell, he says, that I'm ringing continuously till everyone enters into the kingdom? This is a glorious time to be alive. It's not a time for doom and gloom. It's a glorious time to be alive. And Jesus is expecting great things from us if we get out of the way. If we're in the way, we're miserable. But when we be like Jesus and Mary, in our life, the way Louisa did, everything's going to change. A new beginning for all of humanity. So we'll end there. We'll be back, I think, in an hour and 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.